Welcome to our evening audio. This morning we looked at Micah's command to beat swords into plowshares. You might say, well, that's a prophecy, it's not a command. Well, I believe if God tells us that the really good times are going to come when we beat swords into plowshares, that's sort of like a command. If you have any respect for God when he says, this is the way it should be, that's really the way you ought to act. Now we're going to continue to look at the Christmas accounts of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And on day 5 of the 12 days of Christmas, we're going to be looking at the last part of Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at the birth of John the Baptist, and we're going to look at a really amazing prophecy by John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. So we start with Luke chapter 1 in verse 57. Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Now in our day, if a woman as old as Elizabeth was, found out she was pregnant, there'd be a lot of raised eyebrows. There wouldn't be a lot of rejoicing, and certainly people wouldn't say that the Lord had been merciful to someone who previously had been barren and now was able to have children. But that's the way it was back then. You might say, well, that's their culture back then. But the question is, was their culture on this issue more biblical than our culture is on the same issue of whether we rejoice with children? Okay, the circumcision of John the Baptist is next, starting in verse 59. It came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zacharias after the name of his father, but his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was immediately opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were discussed abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. And all they that had heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now Zechariah has a prophecy, and I spent 12 days of Christmas looking almost exclusively at this one prophecy, because it's got such amazing content in it, and somewhere I've posted links to it so you can go back and look at it if you'd like to, but we'll just cover it quickly here. On the 5th day of Christmas, verse 67 of Luke 1, his father, that is John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, speaking of John the Baptist, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So there's the concept once again of being saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. And this is accomplished by a horn of salvation. Horn is a metaphor for power. Usually it means king or some kind of political power. But Zechariah says he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, making the connection between this Savior and King David. Now, David understood that we are not to trust in chariots. We're not to trust in, well, basically what the government creates to protect us, but we're to trust in God. So David said, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. The main focus of being saved is not being saved from hell when you die, but being saved from violence and being saved from your enemies. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." Well, of course, God is not actually bricks and concrete, a real fortress. "And my deliverer, my savior, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And Hannah, in 1 Samuel 2:1, prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." So there's the connection again between salvation and enemies. My mouth is enlarged. I think that could mean that she just laughs at enemies because she knows the Lord is in control. And the ironic thing is, and also down in verse 74, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, it's interesting that if you look up the word enemies in the New Testament, whereas the zealots and the sicarii, the dagger carriers, those who thought they were going to overthrow the Roman Empire by assassination and violent revolution, they thought that the Messiah was going to deliver them from their enemies. But in a strange way, it turned out that they were actually the enemies of the lowly, the people like Mary, the handmaiden of the Lord. And the enemies turned out to be not the lowly folks, but and not even the Roman Empire, but it turned out to be those who substituted their own religious traditions and sought to protect their religious power instead of the commandments of God and collaborated with the Roman Empire. Those turned out to be the enemies. Those turned out to be the ones who persecuted the people that we've seen so far, Mary, for example. People who recognized that Jesus was the Messiah were persecuted by the real enemies of the faith. And Jesus delivered the Jews who believed in the Messiah from the real enemies, those who substituted their traditions for the commands of God and collaborated with the Roman Empire and received power from the empire. Jesus is called the Day Spring on High, which has visited us. And the purpose of all this, the promise that was made to Abraham in God's holy covenant, was that we would have our feet guided into the way of peace. Righteousness, holiness, these are all the real meaning of Christmas is in those words. That's what we're supposed to be when we think about Christmas, is we're supposed to increase in holiness and righteousness and walk in the way of peace. We went a little long this morning, so we'll go a little short here in the evening. I hope there will be links for you to find the long discussion about Zechariah's prophecy. We break down each of these verses and look at, well, I suspect there's hundreds of verses which Zechariah was quoting from and which also establish his prophecy in the New Testament. So it's a very fascinating study. But we'll come back tomorrow and finish looking up Micah's prophecy, the vine and fig tree prophecy of beating swords into plowshares, and we'll look at more of the biblical accounts of the birth of Christ on the sixth day of Christmas.